A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
I lost a screwdriver 3 times yesterday. It was in my hand all 3 times. The hand I was looking at. And this is the thing Daniel's been chasing. He's been deep in the 1.5-inch nylon EDC belt rabbit hole, and he says it's rewired how he gets through a day of DIY with an ADHD brain. He started with a tough-built electrician pouch as a cautious toe dip, but it was designed for wire nuts and voltage testers, not power banks and drills. His actual daily carry is a power bank, phone, flashlight, screws, some weirdly shaped items, a drill. And once he started looking, he found this enormous long tail of niche pouches, dump pouches, notebook pouches, even belt-attachable bottle coolers. He wants to know what's out there, what actually works, and whether someone with basic sewing skills and some cordura could just make their own.
The bottle cooler is where I knew this was going to be a good episode.
It's not exotic. He was clear on that.
No, but it's honest. And that's the whole system in one image. You're standing in your own hallway with a cold drink strapped to your hip and a pouch full of screws, and you look absurd, and you also haven't lost anything in 4 hours. That trade-off is real.
So today we're going to figure out whether this is genuine productivity tech or just adult utility belt cosplay, and more importantly, how deep the rabbit hole actually goes.
Let's start with what the system actually is, because the terminology gets sloppy fast. You got a 1.5-inch nylon belt, that's the rail. Everything else clips onto it. It's not a tool belt, which is usually wider, leather or padded, and designed to carry heavy loads on a job site all day. It's not a tactical rig, which is meant for magazines and medical gear, and has a whole different philosophy about retention and quick access under stress. This thing sits in between. It's optimized for everyday carry, the stuff you need to have on your body while you're moving through a house renovation or a workshop, or just a day where you're up and down a ladder 20 times.
And the 1.5-inch part. That's not arbitrary.
Right. It's the de facto standard because standard MOLLE webbing spacing is exactly 1.5 inches between rows. MOLLE, Modular Lightweight Load Carrying Equipment, was developed for military use, but the spacing spec means that any pouch built for MOLLE webbing will fit on a 1.5-inch belt. And the belt doesn't have to be MOLLE, it just has to be 1.5 inches wide and stiff enough to hold weight. Tough Build's ClipTech system uses a spring-loaded clip that grabs onto 1.5-inch webbing without threading. 511. Tactical's MOLLE pouches use the same 1.5-inch spacing. Maxpedition's Universal Clips also fit. So you're not locked into one brand's ecosystem. That interoperability is the whole reason this works.
So, the belt is a platform, not a product line.
A real EDC belt has to be rigid enough to support tools without sagging. A floppy belt with a loaded pouch pulls away from your body and bounces when you walk. The good ones use double-layer nylon webbing, sometimes with a plastic stiffener sandwiched in between. We'll come back to that.
But before we get to belt engineering, the thing Daniel's prompt really points at is why this specifically works for ADHD. And I think it's worth naming the mechanism, because it's not just, oh, pouches are convenient.
Object permanence failure.
Yes. If something is invisible and physically attached to your body, it ceases to exist. You put down a screwdriver to move a board, and 3 seconds later your brain has filed it undergone. The belt system externalizes working memory. Every pouch is a labeled container that stays exactly where you put it. You don't have to remember where the flashlight is. Your hand knows where the flashlight pouch sits. The tactile feedback of clipping and unclipping creates a physical ritual that replaces the mental loop of, where did I put that? I just had it. I was literally holding it.
There's a second piece that's less obvious. The belt creates zones. Your body learns spatial relationships. Power bank is at 8 o'clock, phone is at 3, screws are at 9. After a few days, you reach for things without looking. That's procedural memory taking over, and procedural memory is one of the things ADHD doesn't impair the same way it impairs working memory. you're offloading cognition onto a physical layout.
Which is why the starter pouch problem Daniel ran into matters so much. He bought the tough-built electrician pouch because it was the safe entry point. And it's a good pouch. Tough-built makes solid stuff. But it's optimized for a profession, not for a person. Electricians carry wire nuts, wire strippers, voltage testers. The pouch is divided into lots of small slots and loops for skinny cylindrical objects. Daniel's carrying a power bank, which is a brick, and a drill, which is a pistol grip shape with a battery hanging off the bottom. Those don't fit in wire nut slots.
The electrician pouch has too many small divided compartments and not enough open volume. That's the mismatch in one sentence. And it reveals the fundamental challenge with this whole ecosystem. Pouches are designed for professions, not for individuals. Every pouch on the market was built for someone else's job. The skill is figuring out which someone else's job is closest to your actual life.
So let's go through Daniel's loadout item by item and figure out what pouch type actually fits. Power bank first.
Power bank needs a deep, open-top pouch with enough volume for the brick itself, plus ideally a pass-through or a gap for the charging cable. You don't want to have to unclip the pouch to charge your phone. You want the cable dangling out the top. A pouch with a flap is fine as long as the flap can be tucked behind or removed. The 5.1 Molly flashbang pouch is ironically perfect for this. It's a cylindrical pouch designed to hold a flashbang grenade, which is roughly the size and shape of a chunky power bank. It's got elastic retention and a flap, and it sits vertically. About $20.
A flashbang pouch for a power bank. This is the ecosystem.
Phone is trickier because you need quick access. You're pulling it out and putting it back dozens of times a day. It needs to be open top or magnetic, something you can operate one-handed without looking. A lot of people use a dedicated phone holster with a belt clip, but those are usually phone model specific and don't integrate with the 1.5-inch system. The better solution is a general-purpose Molly pouch with a clear front panel, you can see notifications through it, and a Velcro flap that you can open silently. 5.1 makes a Molly phone pouch that fits most large phones, but honestly, a lot of people in the EDC community just use a cheap universal nylon holster with a belt loop and call it a day.
Flashlight.
Slim tube pouch, ideally with elastic sides so it doesn't flop around when you move. The pouch needs to be deep enough that the flashlight doesn't fall out when you bend over, but not so deep that you can't grab the tail cap. A lot of tactical brands make dedicated flashlight pouches with a rigid opening and a drain hole at the bottom. Same idea as the dump pouch drain hole, lets water and debris fall through instead of pooling. If your flashlight has a pocket clip, you can sometimes skip the pouch entirely and clip it directly to the webbing, but that's less secure.
Screws and small hardware. This is where Daniel mentioned the dump pouch, and I think that's exactly right.
The dump pouch is the unsung hero of this whole system. It's literally a fabric bag that clips to your belt and collapses flat when it's empty. When you need it, it deploys open, usually with a stiffened rim so it stays open, and you can toss screws, nails, wire nuts, small parts, whatever into it. 5111's Molly dump pouch is the reference design here. It's got a drain hole at the bottom. That sounds weird until you think about it. If you're working outside and it rains, or if you're collecting screws that were in a dusty corner, you can just rinse the pouch out without emptying it. Water and debris fall through the hole. It also has a drawstring closure, so you can cinch it shut if you need to climb a ladder or move between floors.
A drain hole. That's the kind of detail that tells you someone actually used this thing in the field.
And, for ADHD specifically, the dump pouch solves a very specific problem. The I'll just hold this for a second pipeline. You pick up a screw you found on the floor, you don't have a place for it, you hold it in your hand, then you need that hand for something else. You set the screw down somewhere random, and it's gone forever. The dump pouch is the designated thing I might need later container that's always on your body. You don't have to decide where to put it, it goes in the pouch. Decision eliminated.
The drill is the hardest item on the list.
Yeah, a drill is heavy and awkward. It needs a holster-style pouch with real retention, a strap or a buckle that goes over the top, not just a bucket pouch it sits in. If you bend over and your drill falls out onto a tile floor, that's a bad day. Tough-Built actually makes a drill holster in their ClipTech line that's designed for exactly this, and it's got a reinforced opening so you can holster the drill one-handed without looking. The weight is the issue, though. A drill with a battery can be 3 or 4 pounds, and that much weight on one point of your belt will pull it down unless the belt is stiff enough. We'll come back to belt stiffness.
What about the weirdly shaped items? Daniel mentioned bulky things that don't fit standard pouches.
This is where Maxpedition enters the conversation. Maxpedition's approach is different from Tough Built or 5.11. They use a proprietary clip system that's more secure than standard MOLLE. It locks onto the webbing and doesn't come off unless you deliberately release it, but it's less quick to reconfigure. You're not swapping pouches on and off in 5 seconds. The trade-off is that the pouch stays exactly where you put it, even with heavy or awkward loads.
And their beefy pouch is the one that keeps coming up.
The beefy pouch is a cult item for a reason. It's essentially a fabric box that attaches to your belt. It expands via a gusseted side, that's the accordion fold fabric on the sides, to about 2.5 inches deep while maintaining a 1.5 inch belt attachment. So you've got a box that's 2.5 inches thick hanging off your belt, which means it can hold things that are bulky. A small parts organizer, a folded multi-tool pouch, a compact camera, a sandwich. The trade-off is that it doesn't sit flush against your body, it sticks out, you'll bump it on door frames. But for weirdly shaped items that don't fit in a flat pouch, it's the best off-the-shelf solution.
A sandwich pouch. We've arrived.
We have. And that's before we get to the long tail. Daniel mentioned notebook and marker pouches, and I want to talk about those because they're more interesting than they sound.
Go on.
5211's Mall Admin pouch is the standard here. It's got a transparent map sleeve on the inside of the flap, pen slots, and a main compartment that fits a small notebook. But the real innovation, and this is the part that matters for DIY, is the right in-place design. You can unzip the pouch, open the flap, write a note, and close it without taking the pouch off your belt. The flap folds down and becomes a writing surface. For renovation work, this is huge. Measurements, screw sizes, cut lists, they all live on your body instead of on a scrap of drywall that's going to get covered in mud or thrown away.
That's the externalized memory thing again. The notebook is physically attached to you, so the information is physically attached to you. You can't lose it without losing your pants.
And the marker slots mean you always have a pen. Always. How many times have you needed to write down a measurement and spent 2 minutes looking for something to write with?
More than I want to count. Alright, let's get to the exotic stuff. Daniel mentioned the belt attachable bottle cooler, and I need you to tell me that's a real product.
It's real. They're typically neoprene sleeves, like a wetsuit material, with MOLLE straps sewn onto the back. They fit a standard 12-ounce can or a small water bottle. For a full day of DIY in August, having a cold drink on your hip is practical. You're not walking to the kitchen every 20 minutes, you're not leaving condensation rings on fresh paint. It's the kind of thing that sounds like a joke until you use it once, and then you're annoyed you didn't have it sooner.
What else is out there in the long tail?
Magnetized pouches for screws and bits. These have a magnetic panel sewn into the base so small metal parts don't rattle around. Radio pouches that fit compact Bluetooth speakers. Same form factor as a military radio pouch, but you're putting a JBL in there instead of a walkie-talkie. Blowout pouches from the medical and tactical world. These are designed as trauma kits with elastic loops and clear compartments, but they work perfectly as compact tool rolls for precision screwdrivers or Allen keys. And then there are the truly niche things. Pouches designed for specific tools like laser measures, pouches with built-in battery banks, pouches with RFID blocking for key fobs.
At some point, this stops being a belt system and starts being a mobile workshop.
And that's the line, right? The line between I'm more efficient and I'm carrying my entire garage on my waist. Everyone has to find their own threshold.
Let's talk about the DIY side, because Daniel raised it, and I think it's the most interesting part of this. If you've got basic sewing skills and access to a machine, you can make your own pouches. What does that actually involve?
The barrier is lower than most people think. The 1.5 inch webbing standard means all the hard compatibility work is already done. As long as your pouch has a 1.5 inch belt loop on the back, it'll fit the system. You can buy pre-made 1.5 inch webbing loops with snaps for about $2 each. The fabric body is the creative part.
Cordura is the material everyone talks about.
Cordura 500D is the most common weight for EDC pouches. The D stands for denier. It's a measure of fiber thickness. 500D is tough enough for daily use, reasonably flexible, and not too heavy. Towson D Cordura is more durable. It's what military gear is made from, but it's significantly heavier and stiffer. It's harder to sew, especially on a home machine. For a DIY pouch, 500D is the sweet spot. You can buy it by the yard from outdoor fabric suppliers for about $12 to $15 a yard.
And the simplest project?
A dump pouch. It's literally a rectangle of fabric with a webbing loop at the top and a drawstring channel at the bottom. You fold the fabric in half, sew the sides, fold over the top edge to make a channel for the belt loop, sew that down, then fold over the bottom edge to make a channel for the drawstring, thread paracord through the bottom channel, add a cord lock. Done. Total material cost under $15. You can make one in an afternoon.
That's absurdly accessible.
It is. And once you've made a dump pouch, you've got the basic skills to make anything. A foam pouch is just a dump pouch with a flap and Velcro. A drill holster is a tube of fabric with a retention strap. The pouch community on forums, Reddit's RAWMYOG, which stands for Make Your Own Gear, and RAWEDC, has patterns, tutorials, and people who will troubleshoot your stitching. The MYOG community in particular is incredibly generous with knowledge.
What about the manufacturing angle Daniel mentioned? If someone wanted to go beyond DIY and actually produce pouches?
The step from DIY to small batch manufacturing is mostly about equipment. A home sewing machine can handle 500D cordura with the right needle. You need a heavy-duty needle, size 16 or 18, and heavy thread. But if you want to do production runs, you'll want an industrial walk-in foot machine, which can cost a few $1,000 new, but can often be found used for under $1,000. Makerspaces sometimes have them. The other big upgrade is a hot knife for cutting nylon. It seals the edges as it cuts so the fabric doesn't fray. Those run about $100 to $200.
So the barrier to entry for making pouches that are better than commercial options is a sewing machine and some practice.
And the commercial options aren't customized to your exact carry items. That's the real advantage of DIY. You can make a pouch that perfectly fits your specific power bank model, with a cable pass through in exactly the right spot. Commercial pouches have to fit everyone's gear, which means they fit no one's gear perfectly. Custom pouches fit one person's gear exactly.
Which brings us back to the core insight. The reason this system works for ADHD isn't that pouches are cool, it's that the system removes decisions. Every item has a home. That home is on your body. You don't think about where to put things. You don't think about where to find things. The physical world does the remembering for you.
And the configurability matters too. ADHD brains tend to optimize and re-optimize. The system that worked last week might feel wrong this week. With a clip-based system, you can rearrange your pouches in 30 seconds. Move the dump pouch from left to right. Swap the power bank pouch for a larger one. The system adapts to your brain instead of your brain having to adapt to the system.
Before we get to the weird stuff, I want to talk about what makes a belt actually work for this, because I think most people get it wrong.
The belt is the part nobody thinks about, and it's the part that makes or breaks the whole setup. A 1.5-inch nylon belt has to do three contradictory things. It has to be stiff enough to hold a loaded pouch without sagging or rolling. It has to be flexible enough to bend when you sit down. And it has to be thin enough to fit through standard belt loops. Most commercial belts fail at the stiffness requirement. They're fine for holding up pants, but the moment you clip a drill holster onto them, they twist and sag.
So what's the solution?
The good belts use a nylon webbing that's actually two layers stitched together with a plastic stiffener sandwiched in between. That's the secret. And nobody talks about it because it's not.
Because it's not visible. You can't market a plastic strip inside a belt.
Hilbert's been quiet back there.
The strip is typically 0.5 millimeter polypropylene, or HDPE, cut to the exact width of the webbing. It's what gives the belt structure without adding bulk. I know this because I spent a summer in 1998 testing the bar tack stitches on nylon utility belts for a company called Belt Buddy. They made belts for film set grips, the guys who carry clamps and C-stands and need everything on their body. My job was to put a belt in a jig, attach a weight, and pull until something failed. 200 pounds was the pass mark for the stitching. If the bar tack ripped before 200, the whole batch got rejected.
200 pounds of pull on a belt stitch. That's a serious spec.
Grips hang tools worth thousands of dollars off their belts. A belt that fails is a liability claim. The company's gone now. They folded in 2001 when the film industry shifted to digital and the grip workflow changed, but I still have one of the sample belts in my garage. I use it for yard work. It's got a dead man's loop.
What's a dead man's loop?
a secondary loop that prevents the belt from sliding through the buckle if the main stitching fails. It's a safety feature. Most consumer belts don't have one because it adds 50 cents to the manufacturing cost. Belt Buddy put them on everything. That's the kind of detail you only learn when you're paid minimum wage to test 200 belts a day.
The plastic stiffener is that the same idea as the stays in a dress shirt collar.
Similar. But the insert in a belt has to handle torsional load, twisting force. When you hang a heavy pouch on one side, the belt wants to roll outward. The stiffener resists that twist. Polypropylene is better than HDPE for this because it's more flexible and doesn't develop a permanent crease. HDPE is cheaper. Most manufacturers use HDPE.
So the belt is a composite structure. Two layers of nylon, a plastic core, and Bartek stitching that can hold 200 pounds.
On a good one, most of what's on Amazon isn't good. You want to look for a belt that specifically advertises a stiffener or a reinforced core. If it doesn't mention it, it doesn't have one. The nylon will feel sturdy in your hand, but it'll sag the first time you load it. I learned that the expensive way.
The expensive way being?
I bought 3 belts before I found one that worked. They're in a box somewhere.
The plastic insert detail changes how I think about the whole system. It's not just pouches on a strap, it's a load-bearing platform with engineering behind it.
And it explains why some people try this system and hate it. They clip a drill holster onto a floppy department store belt, the whole thing twists and bounces, and they conclude the concept doesn't work. The concept works fine. They just built it on the wrong foundation.
The standardization question is interesting here. We've got this 1.5-inch standard that creates interoperability across brands. Tough Belt, 511, Maxpedition, all the Molly-compatible stuff. But as the ecosystem grows, do we see fragmentation? Proprietary clip systems that lock you in.
It's already happening. Tough Belt's clip tech is open in the sense that it works on any 1.5-inch webbing, but the clips themselves are proprietary. You can't buy a generic clip tech compatible pouch from another brand. Maxpedition's clip system is even more locked down. The tension is between interoperability and security. A universal clip that fits everything is also a clip that might pop off under load. A proprietary clip can be engineered for a specific retention force.
So the market might shake out into tiers. Open standard Molly pouches for light everyday stuff. Proprietary systems for heavy tools.
That's my guess. And the DIY community sits outside both tiers. If you sew your own pouch with a simple webbing loop, it's compatible with everything. No clips, no proprietary anything. Just a loop of nylon that slides onto any 1.5-inch belt. It's the most open standard of all.
The other thing that's coming is 3D printed components. Clips, dividers, rigid inserts. Imagine printing a custom insert that perfectly cradles your specific power bank model, then sewing a fabric pouch around it.
That's already happening in the MyOG community. People are designing and printing belt clips, D-rings, cord locks, all kinds of hardware. The combination of 3D printing for rigid parts and sewing for flexible parts is incredibly powerful. You can make a pouch that's better than anything you can buy because it's designed around your exact gear and your exact body.
Which brings us back to Daniel's original question. Is this a game changer or is it adult cosplay?
It's both. It's cosplay in the sense that you're walking around your house looking like a cross between a contractor and a paintball referee. Your family will make fun of you. You have to be okay with that. But it's a game changer in the sense that it reduces the cognitive load of keeping track of your stuff. For someone with ADHD, that reduction is measurable. Fewer interruptions, fewer lost items, less time spent searching. The trade-off is dignity.
Dignity is overrated. I lose things constantly and I don't even have pockets.
You're a sloth. You don't wear pants.
Which is why I need the belt system even more. I have no pockets, and I'm extremely slow. If I set something down, retrieving it's a 15-minute project.
All right. One thing from the research that we didn't get to, the Cordura weight thing matters more than I let on. 500D versus 1000D isn't just about durability. 1000D Cordura is almost twice as heavy per square yard, and it's noticeably stiffer. If you're making a pouch that's going to hang off your belt all day, the weight adds up. A full set of 1000D pouches might add a pound or more compared to 500D. For a belt system, lighter is usually better as long as it's durable enough. 500D is the sweet spot for almost everything except holsters for heavy tools, where the extra stiffness of 1000D actually helps with retention.
So, the cutting room floor detail is, if you're sewing your own, start with 500D Cordura, use a size 16 needle, and don't let anyone tell you that you need 1000D for real gear. 1000D is for people who expect to be dragged behind a truck.
That's accurate, actually.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping us on the rails and for the dead man's loop knowledge.
If you're building out your own belt system and you've got a weird pouch solution we didn't cover, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We want to hear about it.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.